I now ask that you'd give our brother Gordon your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Bob. Well, my brother this morning really hit upon the topic that I had considered bringing forth to you today. It's going to complement what Bob spoke about this morning. One of the things that, he was talking about, he was giving examples of different ones who had in their lives, in their opportunities to be able to stand before the world to provide a testimony of the things they knew were true, things that they held true within their heart, and they didn't deviate from that testimony. And really, that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit tonight. The word that I would like to use is declare. Declaring the word of God. I want to take you all to Alma in the 7th chapter. Here we find in the history that we find in the Book of Mormon in the 7th chapter where Alma, who was the chief judge of the land, he had stepped down that he might go into the field and to care for the ministry in which he had called to be. And he had, in earlier chapters, he had some success in turning around different ones, different cities that were kind of falling away and kind of reorganized them, so to speak. And then he was... He went back and he ended up focusing on a city called Ammonihah, which was a city of the Nephites that was falling away from the Lord. And so he was directed of God to go there and speak with them and to try and to bring them back to the things of God. Here in Alma, in the 7th chapter, in verses 5-6. We find that it says, "Now they knew not that God could do such marvelous works, for they were a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. And they said, Who is God that sendeth no more authority than one man among this people to declare unto them the truth of such great and marvelous things?" Alma had expounded a little bit concerning the gospel and the things that they were doing wrong. He had testified against them. And here we find in these two verses of scriptures that they rejected his testimony or his declaration that he made to them, that he believed that he knew that God had given him to give to those people. One of the things that I find that is human in nature, how many people like to be rejected when you say something? You know, not many of us like to be able to say something that we hold dear to our hearts and something that we know we have a testimony inside and we share that with somebody, either, you know, a friend of ours or our fellow worker or whatever, and they, you know, reject you. Doesn't feel good, does it? It's one of those things that we don't like to experience. Well, think of Alma here. Amongst the notable people in the town, basically rejecting what he knew God had given him to speak. But true to God's word, you know, he's not going to condemn that city with just that one testimony. He's going to send another because he says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let those things be established, that I will establish among them. And it was so with anyone who was charged with a crime worthy of death that you could not be put to death without a personal witness of two or more witnesses against you. And so it is in the eyes of God that he did send another person. It was Amulek. And Amulek, who grew up in that area, in that town, he was well known. He was prospered of God. He was influential with the people there, and they knew him. It wasn't that he was anybody of a small stature in that city. And he was chosen of God to take Alma in, because Alma was feeling pretty rejected, just like you and I would feel if we spilled our guts and heart to and soul to individuals, hoping and praying that they would listen to us, and they basically kicked you out of the city. And that's what happened to Alma. And so in the interim, as he was going back and turned his back on that city, the Lord sent an angel and said, Alma, I want you to go back. And I've got a special mission for you to go back and try again. And so he opened the way for Alma to go back and to stay with Amulek and his home. And Amulek took him in because he had had a vision as well and said, receive my servant. And he did. And so Alma stayed with Amulek for a while and regained his strength because he had been fasting for a long time concerning these things that he tried to bring forth to the city in Ammoniah. And Amulek was converted, and then later he was going to be used as a witness. And so we find in Alma in the 8th chapter, in the 18th verse, we find after Amulek had done basically the same thing that Alma did amongst the people, this was their answer. Now when Amulek had spoken these words, the people began to be astonished. So they went, oh, now there's two of them that's done this. Seeing there was more than one witness who testified to the things whereof they were accused, and also of the things which were to come, according to the spirit of prophecy which was in them. Now, do you think they said, oh my goodness, maybe we ought to listen to these guys and maybe change our ways? Do you think that's what happened? Anybody remember that story? You read in the 19th verse, it says, nevertheless, there were some among them who thought to question them, that by their cunning devices they might catch them in their words, that they might find witness against them, that they might deliver them to the judges. So really, there were those people who were in of authority, rejected the words of Amulek as well, and Alma. And we find it's interesting that when you continue in this story, we come to another interesting verses of Scripture that we might be able to relate to in our society today. I know once I read this, I hope that you can appreciate that it's a topic that is frustrating to me, as I hope it is to you in our society. Here on page 338, in Alma in the 40th verse, it says, and now behold, I say unto you that the foundation of the destruction of this people is beginning to be laid by the unrighteousness of your lawyers and your judges. And now it came to pass that when Amulek had spoken these words, the people cried out against him, saying, now we know that this man is a child of the devil, for he hath lied unto us, for he hath spoken against our law. You know, I can relate to that, because it frustrates me when we have judges in that are to judge the law by those things that have been placed within our judicial system, and they make up their own laws and they judge accordingly to their own thoughts and their own thinking, and they're turning upside down our Constitution that was provided to us by our founders, I believe by the gift of God, that it would be a beacon for us throughout the generations of time. And yet we find our lawyers and judges turning it upside down on its head. And no different than it was for the people of Ammoniah, this was a very destructive thing, because these lawyers and judges used the law for their benefit to get gain. Does that sound familiar? You don't have to watch TV very long to see these different advertisements. Well, we only take 22% of everything you want to get from your brother over here when we sue him. You know, for whatever cause it is, you deserve it. You know, our society has become very corrupt in this sense, thinking that other people owe them something in life. But anyhow, we find that Amulek makes a very plain and specific statement about their lawyers and judges, that it was the beginning, those were the beginnings, that was the foundation that was being laid for their destruction. And I'm afraid that's going to happen in our country as well. Anyhow, we find that they rejected him, and they had this lawyer, Zizrom, who was one of the more notable lawyers that could probably get people off death row. And I know we've seen that too, right? But anyhow, this Zizrom started questioning Alma and Amulek and was trying to trick them, trip them up or whatever. And the story continues on where they didn't really do very good of a job and they got pretty frustrated. And so it kind of got people all upset and in a big tizzy where they decided, well, we're just going to get rid of him and everybody that might believe in their words, Alma and Amulek. So it gets us over here on the 10th chapter of Alma. As we continue this story, this is one of the things I was wondering if Bob was going to bring to your attention this morning, and he didn't, so I was glad he didn't, because it's part of what I'm talking about tonight. Anyhow, in this 10th chapter of Alma, we find that Alma and Amulek is going to have to endure some pretty horrendous things. They were going to have to witness some pretty horrible things. Here in the 10th chapter, starting with verse 45, we find it says here, verse 44, it says, they spit upon him and cast him out from among them. That was Zizrom, because Zizrom had been convicted in his heart that, wait a minute, these two guys are really speaking the truth. I was unable to trip them up. They knew what I was going to say. They knew my heart, and they were able to put down everything I tried to put to their charge. And so he started saying, no, you can't do this to them. They were going to take them and destroy them, Alma and Amalek. And so what did they do? The people spit on him and cast him out from among them, and also all those who believed in the words which had been spoken by Alma and Amalek. Those are the people within the city, okay? And they cast them out and sent men to cast stones at them to get rid of them. Get out of here, you know? Those who were listening to this different exchange of conversations between Zizrom and Alma and Amulek. Then verse 45, it says, and they brought their wives and their children together, and whosoever believed or had been taught to believe in the word of God. And they caused that they should be cast into the fire. And they also brought forth their records, which contained the holy scriptures, and cast them into the fire also, that they might be burned and destroyed by fire. And it came to pass that they took Alma and Amulek and carried them forth to the place of martyrdom, that they might witness the destruction of those who were consumed by fire. And when Amulek saw the pains of the women and the children who were consuming in the fire, he was also pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? You know, that I can't imagine having to endure that. I can't imagine that. Especially when they had the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost, where they were cared for by that power and knew that they had the authority of God, that they could, if they wanted to, call down the power of God upon those who were doing this. And it came to pass that they took Alma and Amalek and carried them forth to the place of martyrdom, that they might witness the destruction of those who were consumed by fire. And when Amalek saw the pains of the women and the children who were consuming in the fire, he also was pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God which is in us. There was no question about it. He knew that the power, what power that was within him, and that they had that power, that they could do this and save them from the flames. Then Alma said unto him, the Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth mine hand, for behold, the Lord receiveth them unto himself in glory. You know, all things are possible, but not all things are expedient. Isn't that what the scriptures say? In this particular instance, it wasn't expedient for them to live, at least in this life, that they were destined to live in the life to come with their Lord. But Alma said unto him, the Spirit constrained me that I must not stretch forth mine hand, for behold, the Lord receiveth him up unto himself in glory. And he does suffer that they may do this, or that the people may do this thing unto them, according to the hardness of their hearts, that the judgments which he shall exercise upon them in his wrath may be just. And the blood of the innocent shall stand as a witness against them, yea, and cry mightily against them at the last day. Now Amalek said unto Alma, behold, perhaps they will burn us also. And Alma said, be it according to the will of the Lord, but behold, our work is not finished. Therefore they burn us not. Now it came to pass that when the bodies of those who had been cast into the fire were consumed, and also the records which were cast in with them, the chief judge of the land came and stood before Alma and Amalek as they were bound. And he smote them with his hand upon their cheeks and said unto them, after what ye have seen, will ye preach again unto this people, that they shall be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone? Behold, you see that you had not power to save these who had been cast into the fire, neither has God saved them, because they were of thy faith. That was pretty bold, wasn't it? And it would have been very difficult, I would imagine, for Alma and Amalek to hold their tongue, to answer directly to the judge's question. But we know, because of the words of Alma, that they were constrained to do anything other than be a witness or a testimony. We find in Revelations that in the sixth chapter, you find that there was a group of people under the altar who were crying, how long, O Lord, how long until you avenge our death? So it wasn't going to be until there'll be other fellows that would join them. So we know that this is of God, that there will be those who will die for their witness' sake, that a just judgment would be passed upon those who perpetrated the crime. And I would hate to be someone who had killed an innocent person that was innocent before God, because it's not going to be a very pleasant thing for them to endure eternal damnation. So what does this have to do with what I want to bring tonight? It's that thought about declaring the word of God. You and I both know there was things that Bob talked to you about where God preserved the individuals, and then some of them he didn't, just like these here. And so I don't know, you may be like me. You know, I put myself in those shoes. Am I going to be one of those that's going to be preserved, or am I going to be one of those that are thrown in there and burnt? You know, I don't know. And it's that apprehension that sometimes prevents us not into those that we know that we maybe not in our life now as it is when we testify or whatever, but we know that the things of God are going to be rejected of those that we talk to. It happens to you on a regular basis. Very few people accept those things that you tell them that are of the truth. And you are rejected. But what I'm trying to say is that we are going to have to condition ourselves, because things can get a whole lot worse very fast as a body of people and as a church for the things that we hold true. This United States is not going to be a protector by the law for us, like we might think so, like how we live under that law today. It might be used against us because of corrupt judges and lawyers to satisfy the demands of Satan, trying to destroy Christ's church. And so we're going to have to predetermine in our heart and mind and pray and to really consider that we have God's intervention in our life, that when these times come, that we're going to be ready and we're going to be able to declare it without fear of the retribution that might come upon ourselves or our family or our friends that we meet together. We're not always going to have that safety that we have been enjoying. But we have to prepare. We have to consider those things that it might be our lot. Yes, it might be our lot that that when we're cast into a fire or a den of lions, that we're preserved. But it might not be. Throughout the scripture, the word declared, there's different words, especially in the Hebrew. There's a word for declare that where, like, when King David brought back the Ark of the Covenant after it had been lost by the Philistines and carried it off, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and it didn't go well with them, you know. They had it for a while, and a bunch of nasty things started happening to them, and people dying, and they go, whoa, we got to get this out of here, you know. It's not a good thing to have this Jewish shrine. And so they sent emissaries over and said, hey, can you take this off our hands? And so David said, okay, yeah, we can do that. And he sent his priest down, and he grabbed it and took it back, and they brought it back to the city of David. And then you find in Chronicles where in the 16th verse, it says, sing unto the Lord all the year, shew forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. And this word declare here was actually that King David wanted to have it declared or written down, these testimonies, how God was great, that others could read it in the future. But then there's also the declare that we know that when we declare something, either through our mouth as a witness or by prophets or whoever was sent, there would be another word declared, like in Isaiah in the 66th chapter in verse 19. I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And so that basically here is talking about that the doctrine of Christ would go into these faraway reaches where his people had not had opportunity to hear and know of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they were going to go and declare that word or speak. It was going to be an audible thing. They were going to speak or teach or preach the gospel or the doctrine, that they might hear and have opportunity to accept those things of God. One of the things we find in the book of John in the 17th chapter, here we find Jesus uses the word declare. And there's only one other place where it's used, other than in the book of John, where Christ is recorded to be that it was his words that we're speaking here. And this is in the 17th chapter. And it's used twice, 17th chapter, verses 25 and 26. He says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It was his personal testimony to the disciples and those whom he walked with, that it was the commission of the Father that he would declare himself among them, that they may know and understand who he was and who he represented and what he was trying to effect upon them in their lives. And so the only other word declared used within the New Testament that was the same, you could find that Paul used those very words when he went to the Corinth. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 1, where he says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. I guess the important thing I'm trying to point out here is that part of the plan of God is for not only ministry, but all those who are part of the gospel to declare the truth that you know to those around you and those that you come, you are confronted in whatever manner or means, that and in all ways that we are mindful that we have been commissioned of God, that we would speak that through our testimony to others. You don't know what effect you may have on the life of someone that you have declared that to. I'll just give you a personal testimony. When I came back from Korea and I was stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, my shop foreman, or the one who was in charge there, I told him I believed in the Book of Mormon, but it was different than Mormons. And I told him about our church. But it was like one ear and out the other. Oh, that's fine, you know. But guess what? There was another man who was in this guy's charge that was kind of a little disgruntled with the Mormon or the Mormon church, and he had just offhanded mentioned that. And my boss, my former boss, says, hey, I know somebody that believes in the Book of Mormon that's different than the Mormons. Maybe you should look and see that. And guess who that was? Mike Kelly. And that's how he heard about the Church of Christ. Who'd have figured, right? What your own personal testimony, what it could do for someone else, we don't know. But God has brought you to this point in your life that you could be that emissary that others might hear and understand. And we got to keep it in our mind and our heart to know that, hey, if I keep silent, somebody like a Mike isn't going to hear it or have that opportunity at that time that maybe God had planned for him to hear, that they were ready to hear. So we have to be mindful of it, that it is for us to keep in mind. Christ, when he was speaking to those in the Americas, in 3 Nephi, in the 5th chapter, he says, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father has given unto me. Now, he wasn't obviously speaking Hebrew. It was whatever language that they were understanding. What was it? Some version that was passed down of Egyptian Hebrew, whatever it was. But anyhow, I can't tell you if he meant declare was this word was like the one where it was written down, because it was written down, or if it was the same declaration that he made in John. I have a feeling that it was really similar to the one that he had made in John, because he being teaching the same things there in the Americas as he was in Jerusalem, that he personally declared those things, and he made it very plain for them. One of the reasons why I came to thinking about declaring the Word of God was I've been writing to a woman in New Zealand. Her name is Helen Campbell. She's not a member of the church. She heard about the church. She's been writing to Brother Frank Fan. I believe Brother Frank told me that he does plan to make a visit to New Zealand and to visit this Helen Campbell on his way to the Philippines, that he was going to make that one of his stops. And I want to share with you how she has been convicted of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, she is a former Mormon. She has denounced it verbally, but she's also written to the headquarters and said, you know, you're all wrong. I can't believe in the things that you teach. And so take me off your records. She's has this natural inclination to declare the Word of God. She kind of reminds you of Phoebe in a way, where she wants more of the Church of Christ with her. So she has kind of taken it upon herself to try and experiment with different avenues to try and maybe have a group of people ready for when Frank comes. You know, it's not going to hold her back. Anyhow, I want to share with her, with you, her email to me, and so you could see and understand her understanding of the scripture. Dear Gordon, I'm enjoying reading all these backdated issues. It was the advocate she had requested because she was enjoying the article that was been written by Brother Harvey concerning the apostasy. Thank you. It's all helping me put together some kind of backup profile to hand to people if need be. That's her motivation, you know. She wants to get stuff that she can hand to people. I'm currently always thinking of new ways or ideas on how to advertise or promote this restoration branch here in this end of the world, which, by the way, whose days are getting longer and warmer at the moment for New Zealand and Australia are currently heading into their summer. I have come up with a little pamphlet idea, and she gives the size. It sounds like something that we would do like in our Hand of Fellowship. I'm going to see if I can include an example of it here in this email, but I'm not sure if it will all fit. So on the front page, she's going to have the Church of Christ Temple Lot. We are a remnant of the original church. We. She's not baptized yet, but she considers herself as the part of the church. We are a remnant of the church, the original church established by Jesus Christ during his days on earth and restored April 6, 1830, by Joseph Smith and five others in Manchester, New York, as directed by God. We are committed to proclaiming this restored gospel as how it actually came and what God originally intended. For example, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, and in parentheses, not first, meaning concerning the prophets, they weren't first. Thirdly, teachers, and so she's quoting Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that was Ephesians in the 4th chapter. The next thing she quotes is, as we believe the Bible and the Book of Mormon, stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, Ezekiel 37:15-21, to be the Word of God, together which contain the fullness of the everlasting gospel in its entirety, needing nothing further to be added. Oh, if you notice the target that she's hitting, and that's the Mormon church. The next one, discover the gospel as it was originally restored over 170 years ago. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil and their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to be never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest in their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God and cry unto God for all thy support. And that's in Alma in the 17th chapter. So basically, the tenets of the gospel, she is quoting these scriptures and putting them together in a very concise and plain thing to follow for those that she wants to reach out to. Remember that there's no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. She quotes Helaman. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments. And the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. Because of the meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, with which love endureth by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. That's in Moroni in the 8th chapter. Again, therefore repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles, from the Jews, which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you. For behold, this is written for the intent that you may believe that. And if you may believe that, you will believe this also. And if you believe this, you will know concerning your fathers and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And if it so be that you believe in Christ and are baptized, first with water, then with fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the example of our Savior according to that which he hath commanded us, it shall be well with you in the day of judgment. Quoting from Mormon in the 3rd chapter. Again, another verse of Scripture. Wherefore the fruit of my loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together under the confounding of false doctrines. Notice how she's using these Scriptures to tie in that statement, that basically that mission statement that we hold true within the Church of Christ. And bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenants, saith the Lord. But what of all they who die without a knowledge of all this wonderful gospel? See what the atonement of Christ accomplishes for them too. I wonder, isn't that kind of natural when you try and declare the word of God, something that is important to the individual, they'll say, well, what about these people? What about this? Sometimes they go into revelations. Well, what do they mean by this? You know, they always go someplace other than the milk of the gospel. And I know I've heard this, where it seems to be that they want to know, well, what about these people that never have? Are they just all going to be dying, go to hell? Or what is this? So she quotes, wherefore he hath given a law, and where there is no law given, there is no punishment. And where there is no punishment, there is no condemnation. And where there is no condemnation, the mercies of the Holy One of Israel hath claim upon them. A very simple statement. Because of the atonement. For they are delivered by the power of him, for the atonement satisfied the demands of his justice upon all those who have not the law given to them, that they are delivered from the awful monster, death and hell, and the devil in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And they are restored to God, restored to that God who gave them breath, which is the Holy One of Israel. 2 Nephi in the 6th chapter. Then she quotes in Moroni, little children cannot repent, wherefore it is awful wickedness to deny the pure mercies of God unto them, for they are all alive in him because of his mercy. Again, that's another one of those things about little children that people ask. And he that saith that little children need baptism denieth the mercies of Christ, and setteth at naught the atonement of him and the power of his redemption. Then on the back, she says, that for further information, write or contact the Church of Christ Temple Lot. She puts our address down there. She puts the Church of Christ email, which is the one that Brother Sheldon uses and others. And then the website. And then it says, our contact sender of this brochure, and she puts her address. You know, here's a person that has been convicted in her heart and is very active in trying to declare the word of God, yet she hasn't had that opportunity to follow through those convictions and be baptized yet. Yet I know that Frank will be going and seeing her, and I pray that the time will be right for her to be received into the gospel of the kingdom. You know, it puts me to shame sometimes to think about this, how she finds it in her heart that she has that great desire to share those things with others around her. Concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity. I have one more thing I want to present to you. It can be found in the Book of Commandments. As it is, like, you know, I pointed out in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, they both teach the same, that we all have a responsibility in these last days to declare the truthfulness, to stand as a witness. We have history that it's been recorded that it didn't go well for Christians. Many times it didn't go well. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Japanese islands were visited by those of Spanish descent or Portuguese descent. They were able to affect a conversion of about 100 and some thousand people or more, maybe a couple hundred thousand. But there came a time when the Japanese government said, no more of this, and they closed their island. I don't know if it was in the 15th century or the 16th century. And they gave those people two options. You either denounce your religion that you've espoused, or we kill you. You got two choices. And there was 100 and some thousand that did not denounce Christianity that was put to death. And so those islands was swept away with those seeds of Christianity. And I find it interesting that it set the stage for Japan to receive their recompense in World War II. You know? No different than those that Alma and Amalek had witnessed against, they too received their reward. Because Alma and Amalek both were witnesses of their destruction. They were completely destroyed. The land was made desolate with where they were all slain who were there, that they couldn't occupy that land for some time until the rotting flesh disappeared, and then it was re-inhabited later on. The condemnation that came fell upon them for what they had done. Here in the Book of Commandments in chapter 1, it says, "Hearken, O ye people of my church, saith the voice of him who dwells on high, whose eyes are upon all men. Yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the isles of the sea, listen together. For verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape, and there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. And the rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow, for their iniquity shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed." And the voice of warning, and that's that declaration that I've been talking about, "shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples whom I have chosen in these last days. And they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, have commanded them." The voice of warning. I know we have a lot of work left to go, but there's going to be a voice of warning that's going to occur to this land that we live in. Because of the wickedness that is upon this land, it's going to come. And when that day comes, when we start to declare against our own nation for their wickedness, that is when that day will come. Our test will come before us. If we're going to hold true to our testimony, or if we're going to, or we're going to veer. So I pray, God, that we prepare. Now we prepare for whatever that is in store for us, that by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost, that we might be able to withstand those things and be that honorable testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless us in that endeavor.